You're listening to Adventures in Autism. Each episode, we will bring you the latest in news regarding autism, as well as our personal story and the topic of the week. We are not medical professionals, and none of the information that we give should be taken as such. Instead, we are parents of a severely autistic child. We are here to share our lives and our personal experiences with you. If you would like to know more about our personal story or access any of our other podcasts, you may do so through openeyesnetwork.com. If you would like to share your personal story with us, you may send an email to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com or access our Facebook fan page at Open Eyes Network, as well as our Twitter feed at Open Eyes Network. Thanks for listening. Well, hello out there, everybody. Welcome to, once again, another episode of Adventures in Autism. My name is Ira Robinson.
And this is Jolene Robinson.
And I think we have a really interesting one in tap for you guys tonight. We are going to talk about the topic of video games as it relates to, well, kind of kids in general, but especially in relation to kids with autism. We have a lot of experience when it comes to this topic. I'm a video gamer myself and a big video gamer at that. And so it's kind of a subject that's near and dear to my heart. It's my form of entertainment instead of watching TV. So, we wanted to bring this topic because we thought that, you know, there's a lot of video games that are out there that I would say are really, really not at all good. And some that are pretty good when it comes to having a child with autism and them in particular playing these games. So,
and when we say video games for this episode, it's not meaning just like console games. This is kind of games, electronic games and whatnot.
Right. Kind of, I think, games in general, really. I mean, not just video games, but, you know, I think we'll get into the topic of board games and all of that kind of stuff as well. So, yeah, make sure you stay tuned and listen.
You'll find out.
Before we get into the topic, though, I do have a little bit of news for you. It's actually in relation to another one of the shows that I do. 2 weeks ago at Late Night in the Midlands, the show Late Night in the Midlands, which is normally hosted by Michael Vera, he asked if I could come on and host for the week while he was on vacation. It was definitely a long week and a very interesting week at that, at least to me. But in the course of the week, I had on one of my frequent flyers on Open Eyes. Her name is Maggie Hart. She was on Thursday, I think it was June 12th or so. Anyways, it was the Thursday of that week. And during that episode, we got to talking about the subject of autism and some of the things that are related to it about our kids, you know, kind of relating to the paranormal with that particular topic. And so if you have an interest in hearing that side of things as far as autism is concerned, you can go into the archives at lnmradionetwork.com and take a look at the archives for Maggie Hart. You know, just do a search in the search engine for Maggie Hart, and you guys will be able to find that episode and listen to it. The following week, this past week, basically on Wednesday's episode, I had Maggie on my show Open Eyes once again, and we had a continuation of the subject of kids and autism and how it relates to the paranormal subjects. And also got into a really interesting discussion as far as the whole idea of autism and everything that's relating to it. You guys would probably benefit from hearing that episode. So I would recommend going into my archives at openeyesnetwork.com, go to /OE114 and take a listen to that episode. I think that you guys will find it really, really interesting. So that's it as far as the network news is concerned in relation to this show. Of course, there's always something happening at our network at openeyesnetwork.com. And you guys can come and take a listen to all the archives of all of our shows. If you have an interest in this topic, you might have an interest in some of the other subjects that we talk about there as well. Sometimes we talk about the topic of vaccines and how it's related to, you know, being dangerous to our kids and on and on and on. It's a really interesting set of shows. We have that one. We have Brothers in Arms, which I do with my brother from another mother, Joe Long. And sometimes we discuss autism and other subjects like that there as well. So definitely go to our archives. We have hundreds of listening hours for your pleasure. Just waiting there in the archives, openeyesnetwork.com. So let's go ahead and get into the topic of games. Oh boy, games.
What should we start with first?
Well, let's start with video games, I think.
Okay.
Now, one thing that we'll make clear here is as far as our kiddo is concerned, Seth, we don't have like a whole lot of video game consoles and systems and all that kind of stuff. We're not real fancy. We have an old Wii, a PlayStation 2, and his computer. And that's pretty much it as far as consoles are concerned. Most of the stuff that he does is actually on the computer, and pretty much he just uses the Wii to watch Netflix at this point in time.
That's pretty much what anybody tends to use it for, it seems like.
We actually have two of the Wiis here in the household. We have one for Seth and one for Crystal, and both of them tend to use it to watch Netflix.
No, she tends to use hers for Zelda, because she doesn't too much watch Netflix.
Well, yeah, that's true. She does hers. She actually plays on it a little.
And then Netflix followed right after.
And Animal Crossing.
And Animal Crossing. Yes, can't forget that.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it as far as the consoles systems here in this house are concerned.
Now, we have had others in the past. We just don't have them anymore, or we don't really need them anymore. For example, we did used to have like a GameCube. But for those of you that don't know, the Wii can also play GameCube games, so we don't really need the GameCube anymore. So, and then we've had others in the past. Didn't we used to have a PlayStation 1?
Yeah, we had a PlayStation 1, and actually Seth used it so often that he killed it. I mean, it just died. But he used it a lot to watch videos and that kind of thing too. So.
And then we got a PlayStation 2, and this was roughly around like when PlayStation 3 was just coming out, so.
Yeah, we got it on the cheap.
Yeah. And then have had Xbox before, just regular Xbox, but that was way long ago.
Yeah.
But he has played on it, and he kind of remembers too, so.
Yeah, exactly. So when it comes to video games, we have most of our experience as far as the PC is concerned. So we'll just kind of give that warning ahead of time that most of what we're going to talk about relating to video games relates to the PC as a platform for examples that we give and that sort of thing. But one thing I will say is that when it comes to video games, you have to really take your child into account in regards to their capabilities regarding any kind of games at all. But especially when it comes to video games.
Capabilities and maturity.
Capabilities and maturity. They kind of go hand in hand when it comes to the subject of games. If they are a person or a type of person who gets really, really frustrated really, really easily, you probably don't want them to be playing a game that is going to increase that frustration level. And trust me, there are a lot of games that are out there that are designed exactly to do that as their form of entertainment. So, and unfortunately, Seth seems to be the most attracted to that type of game. So we have to do what we can to limit his amount of playtime when it comes to that kind of game, if we do let him play it, which we don't very, very often. It's only when he's in the greatest of moods do we let him even look at something along those lines.
Greatest of moods, or, oh, happy birthday. Here, play it for a little bit.
And yeah, I play it for about a day, and that'll be it. So, like I said, we wanted to kind of make that clear that you really have to take them and their particulars into account before really getting involved with the subject of video games. There are a lot of games that are out there to beware of. You know, I mean, kind of take it obvious. You don't want to do games that are frightening because, you know, when it comes to somebody with autism, as you guys well know, any emotion that they feel, they're feeling it without any filters in place and feeling it with the maximum amount that they can possibly do. So if they're going into a fear state, well, they're really afraid.
Yeah, and if you're ever unsure if the game is fine, I mean, not only look into the trailer and see what the ratings are and see what it's tagged as, but, I mean, most people anymore have, like, at least a YouTube video of either them doing a walkthrough or a let's play of it. Just look it up on YouTube, you know, watch a few videos of it and see if it seems like it's an okay game.
Yeah, kind of look at it through the eyes of your kiddo, if you can. You know, kind of take into account, okay, so how are they going to feel in this part? How are they going to feel in this part? You really have to look into it ahead of time before actually getting that game to make sure it's going to be something that they can handle.
Yeah, I mean, I have an example of one. We still have it, I don't know what I'm saying, past tense. We have a game called Lemmings, which probably a lot of you older people know of the game.
Used to love that game when I was younger.
Yeah, so just for giggles, I installed it on, what is Irish computer, and this was at least a few years ago. It was before we moved here. And I started playing it, and of course the kids came over, and they were like, oh, that's pretty cool, and Crystal got all into it, and Seth, he would see the little lemming guys fall off the mountain or whatever because, you know, I'm failing to accomplish the task, and he started crying. He just started crying. He's like, you're hurting them. And I'm like, it's just a game. And he's like, they're falling. They're dying. I mean, he just started crying. I'm like, okay, I gotta stop the game. And it just, it was, I didn't expect that response out of him. And yeah, he's just like, you're killing them. You're hurting them. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't think he would ever come to that. I mean, considering that's not the point of the game. The point of the game is to get them all to live at the end. But I didn't think he would ever come to that response, considering he plays other games where he's fighting bad guys. So I didn't think he would see a game where I'm trying to solve, you know, how to get them all across the little mountain or something. And oh, no, you're killing them.
Some of it was probably due to the fact that they're kind of cute looking, you know, and so.
And they're blue, and he loves blue.
Yeah, and he loves the color blue. That's
so he probably felt an attachment since it was blue, too, and he loves the color blue. His first childhood toy thing was Blue Man.
Yeah.
And then he had Blue Monkey, and now he has Pookie, which is like a blue-purple color bear. So, I mean, he's just. Blue and him are best buds. So.
Yep, exactly.
So, I mean, that's an example of a game that you got to kind of, you know, I never would have thought he'd react that way. So, if you're introducing something new to your autistic, especially child, maybe want to make sure you're right there. That way, if there is a unknown factor going to occur, such as them crying about it, you might want to be there so that you can make sure, okay, well, we're not doing this game then.
Right. And you brought up a good point as far as the YouTube videos are concerned as well, and I'd like to touch a little bit more on that.
Mm-hmm.
Before getting the game, one thing that you can do is actually have your child sit with you and watch one of the videos as well. And what they do reaction-wise will definitely give you a clue as to whether or not it would be worthy of purchasing it. Because you don't want to waste your money if it's, you know, going to be something that they're going to walk away from after a minute or two or whatever the case may be. Or actually cause them to go into a meltdown or something along those lines.
Oh, yeah.
You know, do what you can do to figure it out ahead of time. And there really are a plethora of videos on YouTube relating to any game you can think of. That's kind of one advantage of the fad that has come about as far as the Let's Plays are concerned on YouTube. Just take, for example, you can type in the name of the game, space, Let's Play,
and you'll find,
you'll find a lot of videos actually relating to, I think, pretty much every game that's ever been created in one way, shape, or form. So.
And forewarning, if you're new to this idea, don't watch the video that you haven't watched before with your kid, because there are a lot that unfortunately curse and swear. And
oh yeah.
So you
and avoid PewDiePie with all determination.
Well, if you see the name horror.
If you see the name PewDiePie come up, just walk away from that one right away.
PewDiePie,
you know,
because
a lot of the YouTubers, when they do the Let's Plays, they do it in the most freaky, stupid kind of ways. I mean, they'll be sitting on there screaming and hollering and oh my god. And just, I mean, totally, you know, making this huge dramatic production out of it, because that gets views, you know, that gets people to come and watch the videos.
Yeah, people laugh and say he's crazy, and then they just watch the next video.
Right. But you don't want your kid with autism watching a video like that, because it's just going to send them right over the edge.
But there are quite a few clean and good ones out there.
Yes.
For example, I can say an example for one.
Yeah, let's give a few examples of ones that we've run across, because I think that'd be really good for people to have as a resource. And we'll have the links or, you know, the names and links and all of that kind of stuff on the show notes for this show, which you guys will be able to find at openeyesnetwork.com/AA007. So let's go ahead and give them a few examples that you can think of, because you've run across some that are really, really good.
Yeah,
so.
the biggest one that comes to my head with this situation, as far as watching someone that does other Let's Plays, hopefully I'm getting the name right. If not, you'll see in our article, is Paul Source Jr. Paul Source Jr. Is a father of an autistic child. I believe it's a boy. And he does play games with him. It's mostly Minecraft, but he does do Let's Plays of other games. I only know that through Seth, because Seth told me that, oh yeah, Paul Source Jr. did a Let's Play of Stranded Deep, I think it was. I don't remember. But yeah, so he's an example. So he's clean, because he plays with his son, and his channel is made to play with kids. To play with his son, and for his son to be able to watch. So it's a clean channel. It's cool. My son likes it a lot.
Yeah. So that's a great one. A lot of them that we have actually are kind
Minecraft,
of Minecraft related,
because
that's Seth's favorite game of all.
I was going to say
way beyond anything else.
I can say another really good clean one. If your child likes Minecraft and is interested in watching videos, I don't remember what it's called. Stampy. Oh gosh.
Stampy Oakfoot or something.
No. He's got more than one channel, so I'm trying to remember which one it is. Stampy. I'm going to have to type it in. Hold on. Sorry, you're going to hear typing. Stampy. Stampy Longhead.
Longhead. That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, because he has Longhead and I guess a long nose one? I don't know, but Longhead. Stampy Longhead. Let me make sure this is the one and I'm not. Yep. It has Mr. Stampy Cat on it. Yep. He is a very clean person. Very clean. He has a lot of kids that watch him. I've watched quite a few of him. He's got kind of a quirky voice. He was once on an episode of Good Mythical Morning, if you watch that. he's on an episode with them. He's really cool. He does a lot of Minecraft. I don't think he does anything else, actually. I just know he does Minecraft.
Yeah.
And he has them come out like once every... He has specific times. Oh, he does Skylanders too, apparently. So yeah, there you go. He does other games too. Oh, and Terraria. Okay, so yeah, he does a few other games. I had no idea.
This is what we get for researching ahead of time.
I know, yeah. I'm sorry, people. But I know he's clean. I've watched a bunch of his videos, and he himself has said he's become clean because he knows that a lot of kids watch him. So
yeah, and that's one thing that's really good. Like I said, there's some that are on there that, I mean, they'll just get on there and sailor mouth the whole way through, and I don't have any problems with being a sailor mouth. If you want to be that way, go for it, but I don't want my autistic kid to be watching it and picking up on it, you know. So yeah, so any of the ones that we give you in our show notes. We'll make sure they are, you know, clean cut kind of thing. There was another one. I has Cupquake.
I don't know how clean she is actually.
Okay. Well, we'll check into that and make sure. But she's really good. I like her.
She's funny, but I'm not sure how clean she is. So don't look her up yet.
Yeah. So anyways, like I said, if you go there and you look on YouTube for like the name of the game, Let's Play, you're going to run across just a plethora of people that have, you know, examples of the game. And you can at least see if the kid's going to, you know, get anything out of it, basically. Now, when it comes to video games, I mean, the main reasons why we really recommend playing video games with an autistic child is because, well, a few reasons. It helps them focus. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest ones. The focus and the hand-eye coordination are the two kind of tying at first place in my mind as far as reasons why you would want them to play video games. Hand-eye coordination, as you guys know, the manual dexterity tends to be one of the biggest problems with somebody that has autism. They have a very large problem with dealing with that kind of manual dexterity, making sure that their fingers are, you know, fine tuning everything. And playing video games, especially with a controller.
Yeah, I was going to say controller, especially.
Especially with a controller, it can really help them to kind of get a feel for some of that fine motor skills. And so
they will have troubles at first.
Yeah.
They will have many troubles at first.
Most definitely.
But stay with it.
And especially if you can find one that they're really interested in, it'll help them to get past that frustration level that's with it. You know, it's no different than picking up the pencil and having to hold it, you know, teaching them to hold it and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of all one and the same.
Or riding a bike,
right? So, like I said, that hand-eye coordination and the focus is another big one. For me, I've seen Seth, his focus level has really increased a lot since we've started having him play video games. Before that period in time, he had a lot of issues with maintaining focus and maintaining eye contact and all of that kind of stuff. And since we've introduced video games to him and have been playing them with him, he has gotten a lot better as far as focus is concerned. He gets really intent into the game and, you know, doesn't get sidetracked very much. And so, you know, the obsessive compulsive disorder, which a lot of autistic kids have a tendency towards and all that kind of stuff, it eases up a lot, you know, it really does. So that's there's really good reasons to allow them to do video games, despite what a lot of people out there may try to claim. I'm here to say that it's actually the opposite. But again, you want to find games that are appropriate for the particulars of your child. If they are ones who are, you know, very withdrawn into themselves, nonverbal, have a lot of difficulty doing anything, you'll probably want to do a game that's really, really, really simple, you know, not anything really extravagant at all.
That's kind of why we have like the Wii, because Nintendo games tend to be very family oriented and cheerful and happy.
And really easy to pick up and play.
Exactly. Whereas the other platforms, they're more for the older audience, whereas the Nintendo is kind of for a wide range. The kid at heart, adults as well as kids in general. That's why I like Nintendo a lot.
Another reason that I recommend video games is that they can actually increase the social factor with autistic kids. I think actually even more so than going to school and socializing there. And let me explain why. A lot of times when it comes to autistic kids, one of the main reasons why they are not social is because they're afraid of the interactions with other people, and they just don't have a connection with other people, okay? But when it comes to video games, especially if they're multiplayer video games, and they are, like, For example, Seth with Minecraft will play Minecraft with his sister Crystal, and they will talk together over Skype. They're doing it from different rooms, and they're talking to each other over Skype. And they actually get into very good conversations while they are playing the game. He doesn't talk to her very much away from the game. Like, if he's there in front of her, he doesn't make eye contact with her, and he doesn't speak to her very much. So he gets more open and easier to speak when he's actually playing the video game and on a microphone, as opposed to being there in person.
Or just playing a game that he does like. For example, yeah. I have an example for this. He has the game Super Smash Brothers. I think that's what it's called. For the Wii, whatever one it is that's on the Wii.
Yeah, Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Brawl. Super Smash Brothers Brawl. And he only plays that with the three of us, or at least with one other. He never plays it by himself. So it's a game that he has designated where it's a game, because you can play it by yourself. There's a storyline and everything, but it's a game that he has chosen that he will only play with at least another person. And we've kind of gotten into the habit that every time the round ends and it shows who's the victory, we all give each other a high five. No matter who won, no matter who was the loser, you know, we all give each other a high five. So that kind of reinforces, you know,
the positive social skills.
Exactly. And like I said, it was his choice. You know, we didn't impose it on him. It was his choice that he only wants to play it when he plays it with us. And then, you know, again, every time the round ends, you know, we give each other high fives, da 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 da. Now, unfortunately, this is a game that he can only handle for a certain amount of time before he starts going downhill. Unfortunately, the music and da 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 da, and I can't convince him to turn it off. It
can be a little frustrating, yeah.
Yeah, so we only play for it for like maybe an hour, but during that hour, it's usually pretty good until towards the end.
Right, but again, you know, we've learned with him that he can handle X amount with that game, and so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's some days he can handle more. Right. For example, we had older sister Bethy come over not too long ago, and we played for a long while with her. I want to say more than an hour with her.
Yeah, it was about 2 hours, actually.
Yeah, and the exception to that was because there's Beth there, and he wanted to play the longest he could with her, and she's a different person, so it kind of made it a little newer, and, you know.
Yeah, the dynamic changed.
Yeah, it changed. Plus two, instead of it just being three of us, there was four of us, because we have enough controllers and whatnot. So all four of us were playing, so we all just had a blast, and we did, like, teams and everything. So we did things a little different, and it made it funner, and we lasted longer. The only reason we stopped was because we finally unlocked a character, and we're like, okay, well, this is a good place to stop, so...
And speaking of a good place to stop, we'll go ahead and take a break here real quick.
Oh, man, already?
You like that segue?
Oh, man. Not yet.
So when we come back, I'm going to actually have some examples of games that I've been able to find and that might be good for your kiddos out there, and go into the topic of like board games and that kind of thing as well. So stick around with us, guys. We'll be right back.
Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an LNM subscriber can be found at the top of LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of latenightinthemidlands.com and help us help you.
Ben Franklin said, "If you do the same thing tomorrow as you did today, you're going to get the same tomorrow as you got today." Changing the world starts with you, and changing you starts with changing the way you think. Late Night in the Midlands can help. Listen to all of our shows at latenightinthemidlands.com, because things really do need to change. Open Eyes looks for the truth in all things, no matter where it may lead. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters are bringing to this world, or aliens and UFOs, no subject is taboo or off-limits. Listen to Open Eyes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on the LNM Network at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes.
At The Secret Teachings, we are not a part of any group, label, and we do not attempt to fearmonger. Some of the topics we discuss may seem scary, so I advise you not to be afraid, but to be informed as we discuss current events and ancient history, astrotheology and symbolism, the paranormal and the occult, the esoteric, health, and much more. I am not here to tell you that what I say is truth, but to allow you to decide for yourself based on the evidence presented and the dots connected. Information is not negative. It is how you view it that determines the dimensional characteristics of either dual aspect of negativity or positivity. Try as you might, but no amount of disinformation, propaganda, rhetoric, or trolling will change the truth. The truth is the truth, regardless if the mass is accepted as is, or if it is accepted by only one out of billions. It is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. For more information on airtimes and free downloads of past episodes of The Secret Teachings, you can visit www.thesecretteachings.info. That's thesecretteachings.info.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Adventures in Autism. My name is Ira. And Jolene forgot to turn her thing back on again. There we go.
I didn't turn it off.
Gotcha.
I'm Jolene, by the way.
Hello there. Anyways, so thank you guys for sticking around through that break. I'm so used to not turning that knob there. That's the problem. That was
entirely my fault. Oh, so you didn't turn me up.
It was entirely my fault.
It was his fault.
See, guys, this is what happens when we do our shows way too late at night for me.
Late at night for him, early in the morning for me.
So, of course, in the before the break, we were talking a lot about the different games that we've exposed Seth to. And the main one that is his favorite go-to game and probably always will be is Minecraft.
Oh, goodness, yes.
He has gotten so much out of that game. We paid, I think it was $10 when that game was still way back in its beta days. And the moment that he picked it up, I think that kid has probably put over 5 or 6,000 hours worth time into Minecraft over the years.
If there was a way to tell, it would be so interesting. Yeah, I mean, we got the game, for those of you that have Minecraft or know about Minecraft. We had the game before there was creative mode.
Yeah.
Let alone hardcore mode. But I mean, it was before creative mode. It was before you were able to turn on or off the monsters. And yeah, it was a long time ago.
Long, long ago. Yes. And it was a great game. It's always been a great game, and I enjoy the heck out of playing it.
And there's free other resources where you can play the mods of it, too. There's the Tekkit launcher and then the Technic launcher.
And there's also Feed the Beast.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Between those, Technic.
Tekkit and Feed the Beast are the two main like mod packs that are used with Minecraft, and both of them are really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who are not aware. And then also, we've run across some resources actually specific to autism when it comes to Minecraft. There are actually servers that have been set up by people specifically for kids that have autism. So, I mean, that's, you know, one resource that we give as an example when it comes to this game in particular that I think is really, really good.
And even if you don't have a computer, there is Minecraft for the tablets as well.
Yeah, Minecraft for the tablets. They've got it for the Xbox, the PlayStation. No, they don't have it for the PlayStation, but the Xbox, because Microsoft ended up buying out the company a couple of years ago. So anyways, so that's one. Another one is, that's a big one. Another one that Seth in particular has really gotten a kick out of and put a lot of time into is Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, goodness. Two as well.
And number two as well.
Two as well.
The first one and the second one. The first one is a paid version. It's really, really cheap. I mean, you can find it for like $1, maybe $2.
They do have it for the tablet, but we played it as a computer game.
Yeah.
We have the computer version of it.
Yeah. And that one is really good. That's a really good one as far as like the hand-eye coordination is concerned and actually having to kind of raise their logic skills a little bit because it's actually more of a puzzle game than anything, really.
Yeah, Seth absolutely loves doing the voices for the crazy guy.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, yeah, you should hear him. Oh, my God, they're coming again. Oh. Yeah, he just goes all, I'm crazy, whatever his name is.
Crazy Eddie or something like that.
Crazy Joe? I don't know. I don't remember.
So another one that I ran across that I think would be really good for a lot out there is a game that's called Audio Surf. Now, this game is not really a game, although it is. This is specific for the computer. I don't think they have it out for any of the consoles. But this game, what it does is you take music that you have, so like music on MP3 format that you have on your computer, and it will create like a roller coaster ride type of thing off of this game or off of this music, and it goes to the beat and everything, and it's really great. It's one that Seth has really enjoyed playing and watching me play. He really gets a kick out of watching me play it because you know, you kind of crash and all that kind of stuff. Anyways, you can kind of think of it as a type of a Guitar Hero type of game, but it uses like you're on a roller coaster and you have to control the roller coaster to pick up the colors that are there and all that kind of stuff. It's really fun. It's really cool. And I think that given music that you know that your kids like, they would probably really get a kick out of actually playing a game that's involving that music. So just as an example. Now, you had one as far as music was concerned that you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, and I have others to bring up too. The one with the music is DDR. And for those that don't know, DDR is Dance Dance Revolution. When you get DDR, you need to get the mat too, which is basically they play music and you dance, you know, to the arrows for those that somehow don't know what DDR is. But it's a great game. We did have it at one point in time. We don't have it anymore. And even if we did have it, we don't really have the room to lay out the mat. But anyways, it's a great way to get them going. If they're able to dance, if they're able to stand up and do any sort of dancing, then it's good because it kind of pushes them and it's kind of a logical thing because, you know, it has the arrows and you got to think, okay, that's up. Okay, up. Oh, I got to do 2 feet now. Jump, you know. And there are hard ones, and the hard ones they probably won't be able to get. I mean, shoot, I can't really get the hard ones myself either. But I mean, there's the easy ones, and there is, I was looking up, there is, here, I'll bring it back up. I have it right here. There's a DDR Disney Grooves. So, I mean, there you go. Disney music. You can't really go wrong with that one. So, and that's for the Wii. And there, and if you have other platforms, we're just going based off the Wii because that's what we have. I know they have DDR for other platforms too.
They have it for every platform out there.
Do they have it for every? Okay, so yeah, there you go. Do. So, and you can look it up to see what your platform has and doesn't have. It's great. It's fun. It gets exercise going. Though we don't have DDR anymore, Seth does like to dance to music. I mean, he goes to his room and all of a sudden you can just hear it. You can hear the D's dancing back there.
The whole house stomps.
Yeah, because he's just dancing back there. And then you go back and mention something. He's like, I wasn't dancing. What do you mean?
Well, I can sweat pouring.
Yeah, sweat pouring. So I have another game to add in.
Okay.
The Sims.
The Sims, yeah.
The Sims is a really good game. Whether it be 1, 2, 3, or 4, obviously the higher you go, the more they're probably going to be interested in, because the game is more fine-tuned and works a little better. But he's played 3 a lot, and we do have the base version of the base game for 4. The Sims is a great game because it's an emulator of, well, what? Real life. So it's kind of a, you know, gotta have this person go to work and da 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 da. There are cheats. He doesn't know the cheats, though. His sister does, but he doesn't know the cheats. So when he plays, he actually has to do the whole, okay, I have a dad, I have a mom, and a kid, and the dad has to go off to go to work. Mom, maybe. I don't. Yeah, some. It depends on how he's playing it, but yeah, so it's a good emulator. It's a good similarity, but it's of real life. So he has fun with it.
The Sims is really good, I think, because it kind of helps them to raise their awareness of what
real life,
you know,
is
about, what real life is. You can get a lot of different mods for that game as well. There's a ton of them out there.
You can get them. You can get them so it makes it more fanciful too. Like there's like the, I don't know what the name of the packs are, but you can make it so that like in 3 at least, in Sims 3, you can make it so that your character can be like a werewolfy kind of character or a vampire, and they can't go out in the sun and be a little fairy genie thing, and they kind of float and
yeah, do the magic and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
It's a really fun game. I mean, I like it. I hate to admit it, but I like it.
And another game from the same company is Spore.
Spore, yeah. That was another
cool
one that I was going to mention.
If you want to teach evolution, that's a really good way to teach it.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. It's very in-depth as far as that type of thing is concerned. So that's a couple of games that we know of that your kiddos might get a kick out of as well. And again, you can look up Let's Plays of these and have them watch with you and see if they gain an interest in them. And if they do, well, these games are pretty much on the cheap. You know, they're not really expensive at all. I think like Audio Surf, you can pick that one up for a couple of bucks. And Minecraft, I think, is about $15. And so, I mean, you know, it's not really
The that Sims big would of an be investment. Like the most expensive out of all we've said.
Yeah. Then there's another one that we use actually for their homeschooling, or, well, we don't now. They've kind of moved a little bit past it, but we did use it a lot, and that's called Times Attack.
Mm-hmm.
They got a really good kick out of that game. They really enjoyed playing it.
We had the free version, by the way.
Yeah, that one was a free version of it. And they learned math while they were doing the game. So.
Yeah, that's what the point is. The point is there's free versions of it. There's a free version for like both addition and subtraction. And then there's a free version of, I believe, just multiplication. Like, you can do, like, just multiplication or just division. I don't honestly remember at this point in time. But I did multiplication. And they enjoyed it. The free version only lets you do one world, I believe it is. But it's a good intro to it. If you pay the full version, if you pay for, I mean, they have different payments.
It's like $10 for the most expensive version of it.
No, because they do have higher up because it's for like school bundles.
Well,
stuff.
I'm meaning for like the individual.
Yeah, individual. People. I still want to say it's higher than that. Otherwise, we would have bought it. But yeah, the higher up one, it goes higher and harder in the multiplication, and you get different realms. And I think you can dress up your character too and kind of thing. I'm not really sure on that part. I just know we tried out the free version. So there's a free version. And then another one going along with that sort of idea is Jumpstart.
Jumpstart would be the other one I was going to bring up.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jumpstart games. Jumpstart is great. I used Jumpstart as a kid. I myself can say Jumpstart works. I love Jumpstart. Jumpstart was great. They've kind of, you know, they made the Jumpstart for the grades, and then they kind of rehashed them over the years and made like a new version of the grades. I like the older ones better because it seems like they taught more than the newer ones. But either way, the Jumpstart games are really good. The one that the kids like the most, which funnily enough I liked the most growing up, was Jumpstart. I believe it's fourth grade, where it has Bentley the robot and then I don't remember what the girl's name is. The little bratty girl. I can't remember her name, but yeah, that one was really good. It's I believe it's fourth grade. It's no higher than fifth grade. I know that for sure.
Well, we've got about, I think about 4 or 5 minutes left here at this point. I wanted to talk at least a little bit about like board games and card games.
I have some board games up if you want me.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So board games that are great for those with autism, as well as a learning source. Games from Cranium are really good. For example, we have owned in the past Hullabaloo, which is a cute little game. You have a little DVD. You can put it in your TV or computer or whatever. And you have little placemat things. It's great with a bunch of people. But obviously, if your autistic child can't handle a bunch of people, then don't do that. But we did it just the kids, and I would play with them too. You place the mats. You had them place the mats on the ground. They can mix it up, or they can just throw it. I mean, that's literally how the game goes. And then it'll make sounds, and you have to step on the little placemats, and you make the sound, and, you know, just on and on. It was a cute game. It's good for, like, preschoolers, because it's, you know, just sounds and animals and da-da-da. The next one would be Caribou. We did that one a lot. It's kind of a treasure game. There's a ball and there's a treasure chest in the end. That one was great. We did more intense with it because there's like cards involved in it. And we would even go in depth of, okay, so this is the blue card with six. I don't know. I don't remember what the pictures were on the card. We don't have the game anymore. Another game from Cranium that we still own is Kadoo, which is kind of the junior version of Cranium, the actual Cranium game itself. So that's quick run through of board games that we have owned that have had great success with both Seth enjoying as well as learning.
Yeah, he got a real good kick out of those for sure. I know that there have been card games that the kids have really gotten a lot out of, especially Seth. Seth loves Magic the Gathering.
Yes.
As an example. And although the game is complex, you can actually make it, you know, kind of make up rules that are a lot simpler, depending on the level of your child. And you don't have to go out and buy the hugely expensive, packages and all that kind of stuff.
You can buy starter packs, and it's just...
It's real cheap to buy, you know, just little starter card decks and that kind of thing. And like I said, you can kind of make up rules of the game to suit whatever is going on with your kid, whatever they can handle. Another one is a set that we actually got over Christmas time this year for the kids, and that was the Steve Jackson card games.
Oh, yeah.
There was one that's called Zombies.
Yeah. Oh, shoot, what are they called? Yeah, there's the... See, Seth, Crystal has the zombies. He has the space one.
Yeah.
Anyways,
just look up Steve Jackson card games in Google or whatever, and you'll be able to find them. We've only got about a minute left, so I'm trying to cut off the time here.
I know,
so.
I'm trying to figure out what it's called. I'm bringing up the Munchkins.
Munchkins.
Okay, yeah. So we have Munchkin Zombies. That's the one that Crystal has. And then Seth has Munchkin Star. I don't really remember what it's called, but Munchkin Star. It doesn't show on this website, but that's okay. Yeah, he has like the star version, which is cute. It's got like lots of Star Trek things. That's a cute game. It's kind of like, it's a good beginner of Magic the Gathering. If your child likes this kind of game, they would probably like Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, exactly. So guys, this has been just kind of a quick rundown as far as games are concerned. Do you want to have any last words here? Cause we've got like maybe 30 seconds or so left.
Just be smart with things, you know, just look into the games first, look at the tags, look at the projected age range that they say. And, you know, like we said, look into the Let's Plays, see if you have any friends that do know of the game. Look into it yourself first, and then, yeah, sit down with the kids, ask them what they think, see what they think, watch the videos, talk to them about it. You know, I mean, not all games they're going to like right away. I mean, Seth didn't like the Munchkin games right away, and then it became a thing of, I want it for my birthday. So, I mean, it kind of, you know, it's a hit or miss, you know.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. It's always going to go with whatever your own particulars of your child is, because they're, you know, many and varied in between. So with that, guys, I hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode. Once again, if you guys want to go to the show notes for this show, they will be at openeyesnetwork.com/AA007. And we'll have the links to everything that we've talked about here on this show. If you guys want to go to my Facebook and Twitter pages, those are at Open Eyes Network on both of those platforms. If you want to send us an email, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. And we definitely love to hear from you guys. We've gotten some really great feedback over the time that we've been doing this show. And we're so glad that people are getting as much out of this show as we had hoped that we, you know, that you guys would. We've gotten so much great feedback from people, and it's just been amazing. Really pushes us to want to do this a lot more.
And
so,
if you have any games or YouTubers you want to add to the list that we have, go ahead and email us and let us know, and we'll add it.
Exactly. So until next time, guys, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much, as always, for listening.
Thank you.